Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. You are listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction Blog Talk Radio Show, founded to increase the national awareness of black women in the construction industry. NABWIC is the charge and takes the charge for black women to advocate for further opportunities to its members. Our mission as a core foundation is to strengthen the building blocks of new educational, entrepreneurial, professional, and social network connections. The vision of NABWIC is to build long-lasting strategic partnerships with first-rate organizations and individuals that will provide groundbreaking and innovative solutions for black women in construction and their respective communities. We invite you to call or text or email family, business associates, or friends and tell them that we are on the air right now. Or they can join us on the internet by logging in to www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC or by phone at 714-459-3918 and press 1 to join our conversation with questions or comments.
Good morning, and you are listening to NABWIC Politically Speaking with Katina McClinton and our co-host, Tasha Green, and we are joined by our guest, Deborah Thompson.
Good morning, Mrs. Thompson, and welcome to our show. Before we get started, I'd just like to update our listeners on your extensive and impressive bio. Deborah Thompson has an extensive history in Jacksonville and throughout the state of Florida in the areas of business development, public and government relations, community organizing, civic and public involvement. Her major focus over the years has been in the areas of construction, transportation, housing, and community development. She is an advocate for neighborhood revitalization and small business development. She is especially concerned for those individuals and groups who are labeled minority and disadvantaged, and particularly focused on those who are black and women-owned. She has performed a variety of services in several capacities as a volunteer, an employee, and as a private consultant. Her most recent assignment was Turner Construction Company as the Jacksonville Small Emerging Business Coordinator has taken her experience to a different height. This $315 million project was very challenging but rewarding for many of the JSEBs on the project. She continues her work with disadvantaged businesses throughout District 2 with the Florida Department of Transportation. In the social arena, she currently trains refugees from Burma, Sudan, and Iraq as they become accustomed to leadership and organization development as they to the concept of the volunteerism and management of a nonprofit. She is the president of the National Association of Black Women in Construction, the economic development chair of the Jacksonville chapter of the NAACP, chairperson for Wealth Watchers Incorporated, board member of the Jacksonville Urban League Foundation, and the National Association of Contract Managers. Welcome to NABWIC Politically Speaking, Mrs. Thompson.
Good morning, and thank you so very much for having me.
You're welcome. And this morning's show is to inform our people of the tax cuts that are President Donald Trump has just signed. We know you are well-versed in this area, and we'd like to hear your feedback on how it's going to affect our economy and how it will affect small businesses all over, especially for Florida, because you are from Florida, and I'm pretty sure you read up on some of the things that it will affect us as small business owners.
Well, thank you so very much for allowing me to share my point of view. And to also say that I am following this tax cut and tax reform bill that has just been signed into law on yesterday, and want to just say to our small and minority business community that we should look at the bill very hard study it and find out what the positives are for small businesses. We can also appeal to the Small Business Administration because I've also listened to the new administrator for the Small Business Administration, and her concern is to also make sure that small and minority businesses do very well under this administration. So to just kind of recap a little bit on some of the things that are basic to the tax cut bill is that one of the things is that it is going to cut taxes for businesses and corporations. The other thing is that a portion of the Obamacare, as it is known, which is also the Affordable Health Care Act, is going to be affected simply because after so many years in the Obamacare, individuals would be penalized for not having health insurance. So they are removing a piece of that legislation section so that it will not penalize individuals for not having insurance or not providing insurance. So we just need to be very careful of that. And some of the other things is that it will also work on wage and bonus increases. So we need to make sure that the impact of this tax cut and tax reform does not impact us as hard as it could have, because we're going to be proactive in making sure that we put our businesses in a position to receive more contracts, increase our income, and therefore deal with some of the regulatory measures that have been relaxed under this administration.
In your opinion, Ms. Thompson, in your opinion, Ms. Thompson, some of the regulatory tax cuts that has been put in position when Mr. Trump signed this bill, President Trump signed the bill, can you give us some of the things that you may know about some of these regulatory?
Well, what I have gathered from the tax cuts is that, and I'm not giving you the exact amounts, but there will be a relaxation from 25% to 21% on corporations as far as their tax liability is concerned. And a lot of times what happens is our businesses are so small as far as revenue generation is concerned that we don't hit that $1 million or multimillion dollar level that this makes an impact on the taxes that we pay. But there are some of our companies that have grown over the years to the $1 million level. And as you move up the ladder into that level, there are some tax cut benefits that we need to take care of. So we need to make sure as small businesses that we align ourselves, number one, with a good accountant who is going to, number one, take the time to understand how our small businesses can take advantage of these tax cuts, because there will be some opportunities for us to take advantage of them. There will also be an opportunity for us as small businesses to increase our businesses by bringing on employees and carrying the burden of that employee benefit so that we don't subcontract out all of our businesses and do 1099s at the end of the year. And I know that sometimes puts an extra burden on us during the year because we have to have the bookkeeping in place and making sure that we're filing the quarterly taxes that carry along with having employees, as well as filing reports that go along with this. But this is all a part of doing business, and we need to know and understand that. One of the things in the Jacksonville chapter that we have at our disposal now is not only a female contractor that's doing federal contracts, she has a friend who is also an attorney and very well versed in tax law. So she's going to be very instrumental in the upcoming year to help us, number one, read through and do the research, cut through the chase and find out what these tax cuts mean to small businesses, and work with us so that we'll be able to take advantage of it, because as I understand it, it goes into effect February 2018.
February 2018. Is there a specific date, or is just in the month of February?
Just February. February 1 is what I'm assuming. So what we need to do is to make sure and be in position that we will be able to set our companies in place. We just need to prepare and be in place.
Okay.
Set up your accounting system so that they will feed into the best tax bracket that we can have. On the regulatory side,
yes.
And Katrina, one of the things that we talked about in the state of Florida is a lot of the red tape that goes into putting a development project on board. And those regulatory processes that affect permitting, zoning, and planning, they affect us also. If we have one project or if we have several, if it's a small project or if it's a large project, the regulatory process, the permitting, is all the same. So when you still have to go through a series of processes and a timeline to get your project in front of the council, get it in front of the advisory committees that it needs to go through. They have to do their research. So we must take into consideration the time schedule that is involved in doing a development, whether it's large or small. Time is money, and we must understand that. That when you are working on a project and you are not generating income, those are processes that you need to take into consideration under your general requirements and general administration. And that is a legitimate type of cost that a lot of times, because it is what I call an intangible, we don't see it, feel it, taste it, then we do not account for it in our planning process.
Yeah, that's very important. So we want to go to our studio audience and see if anyone has any questions for Ms. Thompson.
Yes, this is Jackie Perry, and I do have a question for Ms. Thompson. Thank you so much for being on today, Ms. Thompson. This I've heard people say, it took a great feat, of course, to get this tax bill passed, but people have been saying that this is going to be a way that everyone will profit from the first business boom in over 20 years. And you've already cited some very positive things. More take-home pay is always a winner. Big businesses may profit, but everyone as well, and even the middle class. The tax cut is always good news, that being reduced. But let me ask you, and it may be a little too early to tell, but with the tax cut and all the elements that are included, can you foresee any downside or any negative impact that we might have to be aware of and watch out for?
Well, what I will start with is on the things that I have looked at and the things that I have heard and some of the research reports that have come with the information that I gather, and I look at a lot of Bloomberg reports, and they are also on the cable TV. And from their perspective, what kinds of things are going to be affected, what kinds of corporations will be affected, and we need to look at the kinds of businesses as we go forward that we create so that we can understand the capital formation that is necessary to get these corporations, sole proprietorships or partnerships, up and running so that when we choose the people that are going to be on our team, that we have people who not only have the expertise in the field that we're going in, but that they have the financial wherewithal that gives us financial capacity to start our businesses and run them through the period that is a downsize, where you're very seldom generating enough income or revenue to give an income. Some of the tax cut benefits are going to be on these larger corporations, and one of the large corporations that's going to be affected is AT&T. Cable and broadcast radio, TV is very important, and it employs a lot of people. And right now AT&T is saying that they will give $1,000 in bonuses to over 200 of their employees within the next year. Okay? And at the signing ceremony, they mentioned that there are three businesses, AT&T, Boeing, and Time Warner, which is CNN, that are going to do this. But we must also understand that these businesses are very active in the merger, acquisition, and selling and buying of various kinds of things. And some of these things were going to be in place anyway. But what I think this tax form will do is that it will allow other businesses to use that model to generate revenue. And again, we're talking about capital formation and generating revenues into your company so that you will have it from other avenues other than the actual product or service that you provide. So we have to start going up to the top of our corporations and being the owners that we are, and not so much the workers and managers that we are also. A lot of our smaller businesses are owner-operators, and we do not separate the two levels of the hierarchy in a corporate structure. But we must learn how to do that so that we can take advantage at two levels, both as owners and then, again, as operators. The other side of that is that as owners, we need to also place a salary line in that budget, whether you can pay yourself initially or not. Put the budget line item in there. We have to start budgeting. And in that budgeting process, if you can show actual types of contributions to those line items as you move forward, your accountant can help you write those things off at the end of the year. So we have to start thinking with the end in mind. And each year we have to do that. We have to project out for 3 to 5 years. I was speaking with a young lady, and I'm working with two insurance companies, and one right now is entertaining the fact next year of buying a book of business from a retiring insurance company, and she needs $40,000 to purchase this book of value. So we're going to be working with her loan application to try and make sure that she gets the proper loan to put in place to accept receivables, because there are loan opportunities out there for people who have receivables. One of the first business plans I wrote back in the 80s was to an insurance agent going into a State Farm agency, and that's exactly what we did. We put a loan out, and it was accepted by the bank, and this person purchased $80,000 worth of receivables from an already existing business. Well, then you already have, and you can prove that you've got a line of revenue that's coming in because those premiums are coming. And what they'll look at is, you know, just how good those premiums are on a regular basis. So we have to start looking at our income streams, how steady those income streams are, and project out over 3 to 5 years. Because it may take 2 to 3, maybe 5 years for your company to actually start turning around, not generating revenue, but generating enough revenue to give you an income, your staff an income, and give you a profit.
Yes, thank you for that.
We have to stop working in our business and stay at work on that business. We got to figure out how we make money coming to that business.
We definitely do. And now it's time for a commercial break. We got to pay a bill. We'll be right back with Deborah Thompson speaking on tax cuts.
We are so excited to have you listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction Blog Talk Radio Show. Please call, text, or email family, business associates, or friends and tell them that we are on the air right now. Or they can join us on the internet by logging in to www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC or by phone at 714-459-3918 and press 1 to join our conversation with questions or comments. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Don't forget to follow us by liking our page and post your questions or comments. NABWIC's intent is to always go into the high schools and colleges to encourage our young black girls and women to enter into the construction industry and to take interest into the STEM programs that are offered. We encourage you to listen to this show or past shows on the internet by logging in at www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC. Thank you, and we're back.
Thank you for joining us this morning, and we're back with Deborah Thompson, NABWIC Politically Speaking on Tax Cuts. Ms. Deborah, thank you for joining us today. And we would like to move in the direction of how the tax cuts will affect us here at home in Florida.
Okay. From my point of view, we have a very active Department of Transportation, and one of my core capabilities lies in the transportation industry. There will be a lot of infrastructure money under this tax cut bill, and if you look into the legislation, there will be some building of roads and bridges. We will also be building a wall. Now, in Florida, that wall may not directly impact us, but, I mean, if you want to get involved in it, I don't think we need to take a negative attitude. Look at it as a contract. Look at it as opportunity. As these larger contractors get big dollars for infrastructure development and redevelopment, there will be a lot of subcontracts. There will be subcontracts. And a part of the subcontracting opportunities under the Small Business Administration is contracting with 8A firms, contracting with veteran-owned firms, contracting with service-disabled veteran-owned firms, and contracting with women-owned firms. The minority piece of that is always for those minorities that are in what we call a protected group, and those are your blacks, your Hispanics, your Indian, American Indians, and Asian Americans in the United States. These are protected groups because these people are part of a group that have supposedly discriminated against here in the United States. And as you know, the largest group of that would be your Hispanic and your black community, the Indian community. And in some areas of the state where you have such large populations of these specific groups, these are the groups that will be targeted to use that access to these large contracts. So I want us to not take a negative view on what that infrastructure might be. Initially, sometimes we looked at transportation because development of roads and bridges cuts through a lot of times low and moderate income neighborhoods. Those low and moderate income neighborhoods are predominantly black or other minorities. But those are opportunities as well. Under Section 3 of the Community Development Act, under the Department of Housing and Urban Development, it requires that any large contractor coming in with a large government contracting opportunity into an area must use some of the local community people in a geographic area around that development. So we just need to know and understand the legislation and how we play into it. So I think in Florida we
Thank
have
you.
An excellent opportunity.
Thank you. So you mentioned Section 3. Now, Section 3, could you expound on that a little bit more and tell us how we can get those people involved to actually move up in the economy or move up from their financial status?
Well, what Section 3 also does is allows an individual construction company or facility developer to, again, hire from that local community. If the skill sets are not there, it also allows, and under the Department of Labor, there are apprenticeship programs that are funded that can help fund training and development of the individuals in and around that community to do and perform the skills that are needed. So we need to look again at apprenticeship programs. A lot of times small and minority businesses, simply because they don't have continuous large contracts, we're not able to develop a reserve of funds that are needed to put on an apprenticeship program, because a part of the apprenticeship program is for the contractor to participate by paying a portion of that individual's income. But the government, if you write it up correctly and get into a partnership with the Department of Labor, will also pay up to 50% of that new employee's wages. So that is a benefit that has not been utilized or exploited to its fullest degree One of the things, along with the tax cuts for corporations that is supposed to leave more money in a corporation so that they can then provide more benefits to its employees and redevelop its area, is Arctic and drilling as a part of the infrastructure. So that will be mostly on the West Coast. But what we need to start looking at as a national organization is the national impact of the individuals that we have in some of these affected states. Louisiana is going to be an affected state. Alabama is going to be an affected state. And we need to look at the opportunities in and around Florida that are close to us that we can get to without much effort and prepare to do business in other parts of the country. Again, the Obamacare repeal will be a detriment to some of us, but it also opens up some opportunities, and we need to just go into that legislation and look at it. We need to get in there and start from day one making a positive impact. Let's turn these negatives into positives and make some money for the coming year.
Yeah, that's what we need to do, turn 2018 to make it better for all minorities, for all the people, so everybody can get to work and make some money here, even if they're at the lower totem pole. And let's help them come out of that area so they can be financially set to take care of their families.
Right.
And I do agree with the Section 3 that if we had, myself, I don't have a regular oncoming jobs to put Section 3 workers. So I would like more information if I can get with you off the line to help implement that and move forward with that for my own company, which is Fresh Start Development.
I agree with you 100%. I hate to talk over you, but I get so excited when you bring up things like that, because Tampa is the area that you're from. Tampa, Florida is a very lucrative area. There are lots of things going on in the Tampa area. And there are lots of activities that are going on in the construction industry, in the manufacturing industry. And when we talk about our organization and we're trying to improve the STEM educational curriculums and things that are offered into some of our schools, especially for women and girls, we want to make sure that they look at technology, that they look at construction, that they look at transportation, and they look at it with a different view. Every one of those industries need technology, every one of them. And if you look at the federal government now, the other thing that we need to start trying to talk and look at our businesses, how can we help the military? One of the things under this tax reform bill is allowing for almost $7 million to go into the Department of Defense for missile development. So we need to just start thinking differently. $4 billion will go to missile defense. Materials, supplies, and commodities will be needed in that area. $750 million will go for other equipment in the military. You have certain people who work in the trucking industry and logistics. They need to look and see what type of equipment is going to be needed. And if you're already into the equipment operating or moving trucks and the logistics materials back and forth, see what kinds of things that we can also add to your inventory, add to the capabilities. If you're there and you're small, and if you use some of the vehicles through the General Service Administration and the Small Business Administration to get your products and services to the government or to their major subcontractors, that is an opportunity that we will be able to do supplies, services, and products. We need to start thinking globally. How can we effectuate what we're doing? Each of our areas has a military installation or facility in and around us.
Okay. Wow. Great point.
Okay. Another thing I'd like to bring to your attention is that a couple of the larger contractors for the federal government, as they were mentioned, were Boeing, Sinclair, and Comcast. Now, I don't know how many of us are doing things, but every military base or several military bases have housing on the base. That's a contract. And there are certain contractors in and within our area, either national or local, that are doing that work. When they come into the community, too, they have not only an obligation, but a lot of them want to have local representation on these jobs simply because it is cheaper to hire from the local community than it is for them to bring their workers in from another area. And we have to make sure that we are there in place so that they can see us. They got to know we're here. Our group can act as a conduit to make sure that we have workers to be good employees, people who can pass a federal background check, because once you go on a military installation, you've got to have a strict scrutiny into those people who work on those properties. So we just
so
have
when
to
you say
think
our
out of the
group,
box.
Mm-hmm. Right.
National Association of Black Women
group,
in Construction.
NAPA.
Our group.
Okay. Okay.
We need to start coming up with a list of people who have the skills and who look like the low and moderate income areas that they represent, and say to a contractor or say to a military installation, we have some people who, number one, want to work, can work, and are willing to work.
So I have a question. When you mentioned the military and working with the military, do you have to be a vet to work with the
military? No. In fact, that's why we have a special category right now for vets and for our service-disabled vets, that they can do subcontracting, and the government is asking for our larger contractors to look at those subcontracts and see where we can have veterans and service-disabled veterans. I went to a janitorial pre-bid or a, what do they call it, pre-construction walkthrough, site visit, because on a lot of the facilities, they want you to make sure that you come, and some of them are mandatory and some of them are not. But I do not bid on anything sight unseen. If I'm interested in it, then you got to put the money in place to get to wherever that site is. So I was over in Gainesville on a veteran administration facility. It was a clinic, and they had a janitorial contract coming up, and they were going to give preference to a service-disabled vet, which means you get extra points for just applying, just giving an offer. And making an offer. They need to know you're out there, and they need to know you're active. So ground maintenance kinds of things. And it's not that you do the work yourself. You hire the people. That's the key to being a business owner, that we get past the point of being self-employed and we do everything to actually bring it on other people.
Great point. So we're going to go to our audience and see if anybody has any questions with Ms. Thompson.
Hi, this is Jackie again. I am just so excited just listening to Ms. Thompson and just all the good nuggets that she's thrown out there along with information about the tax bill. But Ms. Thompson, if I could maybe just summarize a little bit some of the things that I've heard, that this actually is an exciting time for small businesses and for everyone really around the country. But you've also been encouraging us that this is a chance, an opportunity to hone our skills as small business owners, especially around our bookkeeping, budgeting processes, looking at opportunities for maybe increased salary or bringing on people in our businesses, investment opportunities. Also a chance to look at our business strategies, where there might be opportunities for expansion or diversification. I've been sitting here thinking about that for my own businesses as well. And even as you said, pointing out that when there are opportunities, it's not anything that you have to do yourself. You bring on people. You may partner with people. So I think those have been really good things for us to hear. But overall, just our knowledge, just being able to be aware of what this tax bill really means. And I think you would encourage everyone to get even more familiar with the bill, review, if not all the detail, at least the summaries, and connect with organizations like NABWIC and people like Deborah Thompson who can help interpret, answer questions, or at least outline some of the implications for us as small businesses. So I just wanted to say that. I know it took a little quick minute, but I just wanted to just thank you for all the insight and expertise and for everything that you do in keeping up with legislation that impacts us and also for your advocacy in this area. So thank you, and thank you, Katina, for having her as an awesome guest. Appreciate that.
Yes, definitely was. And we want to go ahead and have any closing remarks from Deborah Thompson.
Okay, the other thing is, if I can leave you with anything, I do volunteer on a lot of committees and different committees, but I stay in my lane and I stay on the subject of small business development. I look at legislation that affects small businesses. I get on different boards and committees that have to do with housing, transportation, and construction. And again, the hardest thing that I see for small businesses as I coach and counsel them with the Jacksonville Urban League's Entrepreneurial Center and in my own private business as a small business 8A contractor is capital formation and funding for specific types of activities that go on in our company. The last thing I'd like to leave you with is don't look at funding specific activity. Look at funding your whole company, how you bring all of these moving parts together. How do you get your management team in place? You may need to borrow money to hire someone that has a certain expertise. And with that, I also sit on the advisory council for the state of Florida with the Small and Minority Business Development Council. At that council this year, we're going to be concentrating on two things in our annual year and its administration, and that is capital formation and certification. Those are two key things that we think and that we have heard from the individuals that are on that council that stun and keep small businesses, minority businesses, women-owned businesses from being sustainable. We need to look at how we sustain our business over time. Capital formation in the state of Florida under the microlending and microloan program, we also call it crowdfunding, is a piece of the legislation. So we need to get with our state legislators, our state senators, our local elected officials to talk about how we pull together and understand better financial management systems so that our companies, our sole proprietorships, our partnerships look sustainable. If they look like they are financially capable, do we have individuals in our management and on our management team that have good credit, that have lots of credit? How do we fill the gaps that we don't have? Because right now we have in the state of Florida a microlending program that we cannot loan the money to the individuals that it was set up for because those individuals are not qualifying. They don't have the credit score that is necessary. They have not accumulated enough reserves in their business. They have not purchased equipment at a level that gives them assets. We need to look at asset building in the company. What things are carried in that company name, not your personal name? And if it is in your personal name, that you allow it to be transferred over into your company so that you build credibility in your company. Look at Dun & Bradstreet and what it's set up for. That is the credit accounting mechanism for businesses. Dun & Bradstreet is equivalent to what Equifax and whatever it is, and there are three mechanisms that register your credit score for for consumer purchases. Dun & Bradstreet looks at you and says, this person has an account with this vendor, and this is the way they pay. And you, free of charge, can go in, set up that account with Dun & Bradstreet, because that's why they ask you for your Dun & Bradstreet number, so that they can go to them to get a record of, number one, how many accounts do you have with an industry-specific vendor that relates to your company. How are you paying those people? Are you using that credit? Okay, and another thing for our contractors, we need to look at industry-specific. Home Depot and Lowe's are good starts, but we know how small you are, because if you were putting together housing for 250 houses and you needed so much lumber, you'd clear out Home Depot. You'd clear out Lowe's if you had to build that many houses and you were in charge of that division in the construction. So we need to look at that.
Right.
We need to be setting up accounts with lumber yards, electric companies, electric supply companies. Those are the kinds of industry-specific and construction that we look for. Okay? So if you're an electrician and you don't have an electrical account with a electrical vendor, you still buy, then we know you're not raising too much hell. You're still going to Home Depot and Lowe's. Okay? So we need to look at what we're doing and how we're doing it, and sometimes that allows us not to get the loan. It's not always
right.
Because you're black. It's always sometimes
because
of the way we're setting up the business.
Those are excellent points. And now we want to tell the audience, if they want any consulting from you, can you give them your information and telephone number?
My name again is Deborah Thompson. I'm located in Jacksonville, Florida at 3120 Atlantic Boulevard. 32207. My telephone number is 904-472-7528. My email address is info@dktconsultants.com. You can call me anytime. My hours are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, until I can make $1 million in revenues run through my company in 1 year. And I want the same for
you.
Thank
you so much for joining us. And you're with listening to NABWIC Politically Speaking, the host, Katina McClinton, and our guest, Deborah Thompson. Thank you for joining us. Have a good day.
This concludes our show. Thank you for listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction. For more information about NABWIC and our membership, please visit us on the web at www.nabwic.org. We are the voice of black women in construction. Have a great and prosperous day.